ओम अज्ञान तिमिदंडस्य ज्ञानांजना चलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। माय मोस्ट सिंसियर ग्रैटिट्यूड टू ऑल ऑफ द इलस्ट्रियस वैष्णवस हू हैव स्पोकन फ्रॉम देयर हार्ट्स to illuminate our hearts. The time is very less, and we should conclude with nice Nam Sankirtan. But I will just speak a few words, echoing the feelings of my God brothers and God sisters. To come together in a holy place, to hear, chant, pray, and worship the Lord, is not an ordinary thing. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lata Bija. It is only after millions and millions and millions of births in this material existence that one can come in contact with the Vaishnavas. In that association, the seed of bhakti awakens within our heart. There is no greater priority in all of life than nourishing and protecting that seed of bhakti. Because everything else will perish. Everything else is an illusion. When the great Vaishnav Quraysh was asked to pray for his vision to be restored, he did not want to see anything in this material world. It is all simply distraction. He only wanted to see the Supreme Lord's beautiful form and the form of his spiritual master, Sripad Ramanujacharya. That is the standard. In this world, life is about endless distractions, endless opportunities to forget our relationship with God. The world has simply been created for this purpose. However, as Lord Brahma explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the process, there's essentially only suffering. Krishna tells in Gita that the pleasures of this world are the sources of pain. And it is a fact. Maya, the illusory energy, promises us happiness in such a way that breeds egotism, greed, lust, anger, envy, pride, and illusion. And the vast majority of the population in this age of Kali are like puppets on the strings of the three modes of nature. It is only possible to overcome the repetition of birth and death, the illusions of Maya, by receiving the mercy of Krishna through the Vaishnavas. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye papajante mayam eta tarantite. This material energy consisting of three gunas is very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of the Lord can easily cross beyond it. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam says the entire ocean of material existence becomes reduced in proportion to the amount of water contained within the small hoof print of a calf to one who surrenders to the Lord. Narayana parasarave nakutashchana vibhyate swaraka pavaraka narakeshu apituliyata darshanam. Who is really a Vaishnav? A Vaishnav is one who considers hell and heaven to be the same. A Vaishnav is not concerned with enjoying or suffering. A Vaishnav is concerned in any situation of life to immerse one's consciousness, one's words, and one's actions in the service of the Lord for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. Yesterday, we visited the historical temple of Sundarbahu. There's a great history there. I was told one beautiful story. Sundarbahu invited the followers of Sripad Ramanujacharya to come to honor his Mahaprasad. The followers were very enthusiastic and grateful to come. But Sundarbahu took note that the disciples of Mahapurna did not attend. He asked them, "Why did you not come?" They said, "You called for the followers of Ramanujacharya. We are the disciples of Ramanujacharya's guru, Mahapurna." So we did not consider it appropriate. The Lord Sundarbahu, he explained to them that Ramanujacharya is not an ordinary devotee. Although he is formally the disciple of Mahapurna, Mahapurna himself worships Ramanujacharya. There is a story, once Mahapurna offered his prostrated obeisances to Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya accepted those obeisances. The devotees were confused. The guru is offering dandavat to the disciple, and the disciple is accepting? How is this possible? Vaishnav etiquette is the jewel that makes a devotee beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. Sripad Ramanujacharya, with all humility, revealed his heart. He said, I may be the humble servant of Mahapurna, who is the beloved of Sri Jamunacharya, the guru of my life. But he sees me. He sees me as representative of his guru. And from his heart, it pleases him to pay his dandavats to me. And I accepted his obeisances simply for his pleasure, as his servant. Tulsi Devi is the eternal servant of the Lord. Tulsi Devi's eternal longing is to find her leaves on the lotus feet of the Lord. However, we see in so many temples that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, finds great pleasure putting Tulsi on his head. And Tulsi is ready and willing to be on the Lord's head if that's what pleases the Lord. The formalities of Vaishnava etiquette are very, very important to follow for every devotee. But what we learn from these stories is, what is the spirit? What is the essence of everything a devotee does? Atapum beard vijastreshtas varanashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir hari toshanam. It is our only duty, our only aspiration, to please the Lord. The whole purpose of all the rituals, of all the mantras, of all the Vedic injunctions, the whole purpose of everything within a spiritual or religious system is simply to please Krishna. Madbhakta puja pyadika. And what pleases Krishna most is when we please his devotees. Etiquette is about pleasing the heart of the Vaishnavas. If by following strictly we offend Vaishnavas, we break the heart of devotees, then we have undermined the whole purpose of what we're trying to do. The essence of all Vaishnava etiquette is humility. Humility is not just a stereotyped way of acting and speaking. Real humility is a spirit that is arising from the intention of our heart to subordinate ourselves and to please Krishna and please his devotees, and to be a compassionate instrument of Krishna's mercy to the people of this world. Lord Chaitanya offered us this beautiful prayer. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasihishnana amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you want to chant the holy name in such a way that actually pleases your guru and actually pleases Krishna, then we must adopt that spirit of feeling oneself more humble than a blade of grass, having the tolerance and the forgiveness more than the tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Sometimes, when you don't want respect, you get respect. Being honored and respected by others can be like poison to our false ego. We should not want it. But when it comes, if we keep it, it's like indigestible poison. We must immediately pass it on to someone else. It is a matter of spiritual life or death. If someone honors what you have done, if you keep it for yourself, that honor, it's indigestible. However, if you offer it to Guru, if you offer it to the Vaishnavas, if you offer it to God, Krishna, then there is no danger. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thank you very much, sir. We are most honored by your association and your kind words. Yesterday, we visited Rishab Hill, which, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the place that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Paramananda Puri, his guru's godbrother. This is also a wonderful experience. Lord Chaitanya honored and worshipped Paramananda Puri as his guru's godbrother, and Paramananda Puri honored Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramananda Puri knew Lord Chaitanya is God. But yet, when Lord Chaitanya at Rishab Hill, where we were yesterday, offered his dandavat obeisances to Paramananda Puri, he accepted his obeisances. And then Paramananda Puri lifted him up, embraced him, and blessed him. Why? Because he was only interested in pleasing the Lord. Sandipani Muni knew Krishna was God. Vishwamitra Muni knew that Ramchandra is the Lord. Yet they're accepting the Lord massaging their feet and doing menial chores for them because it pleases them. Sometimes our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada would ask devotees to give class in his presence. Some of these devotees were only devotees for 1 or 2 years. And they were considered senior. At 26 Second Avenue, devotees were only practicing Krishna consciousness for a few months. And Prabhupada would ask them to give class, and he would sit to listen. I heard one story where Prabhupada just asked one devotee to give a class, and absolutely unprepared. And he was so confused to speak before Prabhupada. Very embarrassing situation. Without preparation? He said, "No, Prabhupada, I cannot speak in front of you." Prabhupada said, "But it is my order. You cannot break the order of the spiritual master. It will please me." Now, according to the scriptures, to speak in to speak to others, Siddhanta, in the presence of a superior Vaishnava, is an offense. But to disregard the order of the spiritual master is a bigger offense. So what to do? This is Vaishnavism. We have to understand the spirit. What will please my guru? So this devotee was so confused that everyone who was assembled couldn't understand a word he spoke. He was just going all over the place. He was really, really emotionally chaotic speaking before Prabhupada. Now, he was actually a good preacher, but he just started speaking and, you know, the sentences didn't connect either in grammar or in style or even in what he was saying. And all the devotees were like, God, this is the worst class we ever heard. And at the end of the class, Prabhupada smiled and said, thank you, that was a wonderful class. Because he tried to please his guru. That's the essence of life, simply to try to please our guru, Krishna, and the devotees. It's not a matter of how skilled we are, it's a matter of how sincere we are. Lord Chaitanya at Rishab Hill visited the house of the Brahmin where Paramananda Puri was, and after offering obeisances and being embraced by Paramananda Puri, who was the godbrother of his guru, Lord Chaitanya begged Paramananda Puri, please come and stay the rest of our lives together in Jagannath Puri. I cannot give up your association. Paramananda Puri said, from here I'm going to Puri, and then I'm going to Bengal to bathe in Ganga. But I will come back to Puri just to please you. They had such an intimate, ecstatic experience. They spoke together for 5 to 7 days continuously about Krishna. And for the next over 20 years, Paramananda Puri remained in Jagannath Puri. And the whole while, Lord Chaitanya honored him and worshipped him as his senior, and he accepted it because it pleased the Lord. This is a parallel example of what we read with Sripad Ramanujacharya and Sripad Mahapurna. That deity we met yesterday is one of the prominent deities of the Sri Sampradaya. Sri Ranga, Tirupati, and Sundarbahu's temple are considered by many Sri Vaishnavas to be the three most prominent temples of the Sampradaya. It is said that long ago, Yamaraj was cursed, and he worshipped that he came to perform tapasya in that place, and that form of the Lord appeared to be his worshipable deity. Sundarbahu said, let my earthly devotees worship me throughout the day, and you can come every night at midnight and do your puja. So he is the worshipable deity of Yamaraj. And as we heard, that if we worship the Lord in a nice way, it is predicted that Yamaraj will lock the gates of his hellish abode, and he'll be at Vaikuntha to meet us as we gather together to loudly chant his name. Sundarbahu, also known as Sundaraj, is very special. He holds five weapons. Did all of you see those five weapons? He holds the conch shell, the chakra, the club, and he has swords and knives. And a bow and arrow. Very beautiful darshan. After Koresh was blinded by Kolatunga I, he came to Srirangam. And by Kolatunga's order, the followers of Ramanujacharya were not allowed in Ranganath's temple. One of the guards said, he cannot come. He is connected to Ramanujacharya. Another guard said, but he has such extraordinarily good qualities, we must let him in. So ultimately they decided, because of his good qualities, they would let him in. Koresh said, if you are trying to separate whatever good qualities I have from Ramanujacharya, then that is the greatest illusion. Whatever good qualities I have is only by his mercy. Therefore, I will not come into the temple if you do not accept me as a disciple of Ramanujacharya. He left that place and came to the Sundarbahu temple in Rishab Hill. And for approximately 14 years, he worshipped Sundaraj at the very place that we had darshan yesterday. And he did something amazing. He prayed to Sundarbahu, something nobody else prayed for. He prayed to leave the deity. He worshipped the deity with love, but he prayed, please reunite me with my Guru Maharaj in Srirangam, where he wants to live. This temple we are at today, on Brahma's order, was constructed by Vishwakarma in the Satya Yuga. He was worshipped by Prithu Maharaj, by Ambarish Maharaj, and later by Balabhadev, who was the king that gave Vishnu Chitta the great honor of riding on an elephant after he defeated all other scholars and established the Supreme Lord Vishnu as the absolute truth. We have heard that story from the pundit who has just departed our association. This morning we visited the Meenakshi Temple. In brief, when Parvati did not heed the advice of Lord Shankar and went to Daksha's social gathering, where he was going to perform some yajna, and then so many problems took place, Lord Shiva, in order to teach Sati a good lesson, he told her that she had to take birth on earth. So she took birth here as the daughter of a king, and her name Meenakshi. And he had no sons, so he made her the ruler. And it's a long and beautiful story, but ultimately, by Lord Vishnu's arrangement here in Madurai, Lord Shiva married Meenakshi, and Vishnu acted as Meenakshi's elder brother and did the kanyadan. Yes? Harivo. Another story about this Sundarbahu temple is in the prayers of Andal. She prays that she could offer 100 pots of payasam, or sweet rice, to the deity of Sundarbahu. But she never came to this place. She entered into the body of Ranganath by his arrangement in that wonderful marriage ceremony before she had the chance to come here. But Sripad Ramanujacharya, he read that verse and he felt that on Andal's behalf, he would do it. So he came here to the Sundarbahu temple and he offered 100 pots of this very special sweet rice. And then later on, he went to Andal's birthplace, where there's an ancient deity of her, and she spoke to him and said, because you fulfilled the wish of my heart that was unfulfilled in my life, Ramanujacharya, I accept you as my elder brother. Very historical holy places, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have been allowed to enter the last 2 days. We will now conclude the final address of the 2006 South Indian Yatra with these words. Whatever experiences we have received, we must be grateful. Grateful for the hardships, grateful for the pleasures, grateful for the pleasures and pains. And especially grateful to each other and to Srila Prabhupada, who has made it all possible. A grateful heart is a heart where the seed of bhakti can grow. An ungrateful heart is like dry, unfertile soil. Even the best seed will struggle and practically die in that place. As it is said, there is no sin greater than ingratitude, than not being grateful to those who help us. And what is the greatest help? Those who help to support and inspire our Krishna consciousness. Anyone, everyone. Srila Prabhupada was so grateful even to his neophyte disciples because they were helping him to serve his Guru Maharaj, and he was eternally grateful. So how we should see each other. If Prabhupada was grateful for every devotee, if Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is taking the dust of the feet of even the brand new devotee, then what is our position to each other? When we travel with 2,000 people, it's a wonderful experience, but it can also be tedious. Sometimes devotees say, I remember the yatras of the past. I think the first yatra we took was about 20 devotees to Vrindavan. And we went to Badrinath, I think it was about 50 devotees. The yatras are very small. No standing in lines. No shifts for prasadam. No lines of buses with crazy and submissive bus drivers. Everything was very simple. Very intimate. But as far as I'm concerned, it's more intimate now. The first yatra was 20 people, now 2,000 people. So now the yatra is 100 times more intimate. And more pleasurable. Because there's so much more opportunity to serve each other. There's so much more opportunity to make dear friends with the Vaishnavas. There's so much more opportunity to make a deep impression in the world, in Prabhupada's movement. And we're not coming to yatras to satisfy our own selfish ambitions to go on a yatra. We're coming on a yatra to become purified, to please Guru and Krishna, and to serve. And the more people, the greater service. And the greater service, the more intimate it is. Yes? So don't think, oh, those old days when we were just a few people. Old is gold. But new is more refined, polished gold. What a joy, what a pleasure when we see how Prabhupada's movement is expanding. How Shri Radha Gopinath are attracting so many wonderful people. To feel the pleasure of this, standing in lines for 4 or 5 hours for darshan is a very, very small price. Yes? How many of you agree with this idea? Now Murli Bhatt, he was expecting 20,000 people for the next yatra in Sri Rangam. That will be very sweet. I don't know how I'll survive, but it will be very sweet. So let us be grateful. And let us take the precious gifts that we have been given and utilize them to offer our life with deeper devotion to Sri Krishna and the Vaishnavas. For one who much is given, much is expected. These yatras are not vacations to enjoy. They are experiences to internalize Krishna consciousness. And sometimes pain helps us to internalize situations. Standing in line in the heat when your body's aching and you're hungry is a good opportunity to pray to the deity. Yes? Whatever situation comes upon us, it's arranged by the Lord to go into deeper prayer, deeper submission, and deeper surrender. So let us take the experience of this wonderful South Indian yatra. We have received such infinite blessings from the Lord in many of his eternal forms. We have received the blessings of great Vaishnavas from other sampradayas. We have received the blessings of Srila Prabhupada's loving disciples. We have received the blessings from one another. With those blessings, let us pray that it will make us more pure, more humble, and especially more dedicated. To pleasing Srila Prabhupada. Because that is what our life is all about. Pleasing Srila Prabhupada. And how do we please Srila Prabhupada? It's very simple to understand. He wants us to become pure devotees. He wants us to study his books carefully and discuss the subjects. He wants us to follow the four regulative principles and live with the highest integrity. He wants us to cooperate in a spirit of selfless service with one another and give up false egotism and the tendency to criticize others. He wants us to sincerely take shelter of the holy names, which is the Yuga Dharma, the most glorious manifestation of the Lord's mercy in this age of Kali. And he wants us together to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya all over the world according to our capacity. That is how we can please Srila Prabhupada. That is the perfection of all the aspirations of our lives. Let us end the yatra by meditating and praying in this way. My sincere gratitude to the organizers of the yatra. It's the most difficult yatra ever in our history. Radha Krishna Prabhu, Abhiram Prabhu, Sitanath Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu. So many names I don't remember all. But you all know, if I didn't say your name, do not feel slighted, because so many devotees have really worked hard, have gone through amazing anxieties, worked hard, lost all sleep, dealing with very, very difficult people and difficult situations, just to try to please all the Vaishnavas. So let us very loudly offer our gratitude to all the people who worked in so many ways to organize this yatra. My very sincere gratitude to Bhaktivinod Prabhu, the temple president of Chandigarh, who has so kindly given us his wonderful association throughout these days. And my deepest love and gratitude to each and every one of you. Because through your wonderful, wonderful exemplary behavior in this yatra, you have made deep impressions and the local people, wherever we have gone. You may not know to the extent that you glorified Srila Prabhupada and glorified Prabhupada's movement by your united spirit to hear about Krishna, to chant the names of Krishna, and to cooperate nicely. and many devotees also. Their faith in the process of bhakti has been very much enriched and nourished just by being in the association of all of you. I can say personally that I'm simply amazed, amazed, as Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj would say, amazing how wonderful all of you are. In honor of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, who I know is smiling upon us, seeing us dancing in all these holy places. On his behalf, I will speak these words and end my lecture. You are amazing, amazing, amazing. How wonderful. And how much I love you. Thank you very much.
Srila Radhanath Swami Ki!
How many of you are leaving today? That's how many are leaving tomorrow? Are leaving today? So we will end now, and the rest of the day you can just be happy. But let us end with the best kirtan of the whole yatra. Is that possible? My sincere request is everyone very, very enthusiastically chant and dance.